Maniwa Choni, Water is Life for Everything. The song, Water is Life, that we listened to, was inspired by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and all the tribes, nations, people coming together in North Dakota to protect the water and halt the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. As LaDonna Brave Bull Allard, founder of the Sacred Stone Camp in North Dakota, said, "We are the river, and the river is us. We have no choice but to stand up." So we remember the Standing Rock struggle. We're faced with struggles in British Columbia to protect both the land and the water. Water in Alberta is being poisoned by the tar sands. We know that water tables are being poisoned by fracking in many places. We have Nestle and other companies taking water for next to nothing, putting it in plastic bottles and selling it back to us. The CEO of Nestle has even been quoted as saying that water is not a basic human right. There are many such stories around the world. And what does this mean for us here in Thunder Bay? Our fortunate location can perhaps make us complacent about water. We live next to the second largest freshwater lake in the world, next to Lake Baikal in Russia. Lake Superior was and is a major trade route, offers amazing recreational opportunities, is an ever-changing source of beauty, drama, and power, and gives us clean drinking water. Now, at the same time, right here inside our harbor breakwall is a massive blob of toxic sediment, which is years away from being cleaned up. Nearly 400,000 cubic meters of mercury-contaminated sediment, enough to fill 150 Olympic-sized swimming pools, from the former Abitibi and Cascade mills that were closed in 2007. It sits near the mouth of the current river. Options need to be decided and funding found, with one estimate made of between $30 and $80 million to clean this up, depending on the options chosen. Some of those options include dredging the sediment from the North Harbor and dumping it in Mission Bay, confined disposal, or dredging the material and disposing of it on site, or building a berm as an in-place barrier around the sediment and filling it with clean material. We find other health issues here. The water in Boulevard Lake and at Chippewa Park is often contaminated with E. coli in the summer, preventing swimming and other enjoyments. That's lakes. As we look at rivers, I want to offer a reference that is, I think, relevant to our area, about a river in southern Ontario. In a book, The Grand River, Dundalk to Lake Erie, which features engravings by artist Gerard Brender of Brandis, his sister Marianne Brandis writes, "This river valley is a microcosm of the biosphere and of the planet. The history of this river is that of the evolution of the landscape, of human settlement, of development and exploitation, of damage and reconstruction. A similar story can be told of many parts of the planet's land surface, because that surface is a jigsaw puzzle of watersheds. Rivers play an important role in Thunder Bay and around the region. Running through the city is the Kaministiquia River, which for a very long time was a major travel route of the fur trade and later of the shipment of grains and other products. The Nebing and McIntyre Rivers run through the city, as well as McVicker Creek. The creation of the McIntyre Floodway helped end flooding on the Nebing River, and it has also offered significant challenges as we consider the many indigenous deaths connected with it. Current River has provided not only hydroelectric power, but also a beautiful lake and park right in the city. As already mentioned, however, Boulevard Lake is often contaminated and made unusable each summer. There are a number of other rivers in the region that all flow into Lake Superior. Pigeon River, Nipigon River, Agwasaban River, Pick River, and so on. Many of these rivers provide hydroelectric power for us, as well as being a source of adventures such as boating and fishing. If we look a few hours northwest of Thunder Bay, we find a river that has been the source of much suffering. Mercury poisoning from the Dryden Mill decades ago contaminated the Wabagoon River system, with consequent and ongoing health issues, particularly for the Grassy Narrows and White Dog First Nations. The previous Liberal government in Ontario finally committed $85 million for cleanup, though at this point we do not know if the new government will follow through. Years ago, people in Walkerton died from contaminated water. Strict water protections were put in place, but now the current government in Ontario is planning to lessen water quality protections. Many of the First Nations in our region, as well as across the country, do not have clean drinking water. The federal government has been slowly trying to make changes, but this issue seems to be never-ending. Of course, we can look further afield and see that water justice is a huge and increasing concern across the continent and around the world. I'm reminded of the words of Samuel Taylor Coleridge in The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. This is true for situations of water contamination. And of course, the opposite is also true as drought and desert conditions make water scarcity a huge problem in many places. Now, to add to the concern, climate change is making dramatic water changes around the world. We see ever more erratic weather patterns, with storms causing tsunamis and devastating flooding. The polar ice caps are shrinking and sea levels are rising. Glaciers in Alberta and British Columbia are melting. Rising sea levels threaten coastal communities and islands in the South Pacific. This does not even consider the massive contamination of oceans and freshwater lakes by discarded plastic. So by now you're probably thinking, thanks a lot, David, for this depressing litany. I do think it's important not to turn our faces away from problems. It's also important for us not to let ourselves be overwhelmed and give in to despair. There are a lot of things that are beyond our individual control, and we need to accept that. However, we can, like Higgins, be drops in a bucket. So, what can we do locally to help on the journey to water justice? On January 27th, in selecting our global charity for 2019, we chose Life Water, a Thunder Bay-based organization that helps train and equip people in Africa and Haiti to drill wells and build washrooms. This saves lives and allows girls to go to school instead of hauling water all day. You can learn about Life Water at lifewater.ca. So this is one small step that we've already taken. There are other things that we can consider. Is there anything we can do about the toxic harbor blob or the Wabagoon mercury? Can we do anything about the McIntyre River situation? Are there other global or local water projects that we can get involved in? Are there water projects in the Canadian Unitarian Universalist context that we can be part of? So I suggest that we consider this a challenge and a focus for the coming months. I'm not providing any answers today, but I hope that I've raised some questions that we can all be thinking about. And as we consider this, I want to share some words from Reverend Jessica Rodella, minister at the Grand River Unitarian Congregation in Kitchener. Water is to the world what blood is to our bodies. Water is to the world what blood is to our bodies. This was a belief held by 15th century artist Leonardo da Vinci. Besides painting and sculpting, Leonardo was also a scientist, architect, engineer, musician, and inventor, and flowing through all of this expertise was Leonardo's fascination with water. His deep interest and observation of rivers and of the ways water flows into water were central to his work and thinking in many art fields, including his art. For Leonardo, water was the literal way our world and everything connected in it is interconnected. He wrote, "The body of the earth, like the bodies of animals, is intersected with ramifications of waters which are all in connection and are constituted to give nutriment and life to the earth and to its creatures." We might say that the earth has a spirit of growth, that its flesh is the soil, its bones the arrangement and connection of the rocks of which the mountains are composed, its cartilage the sediment, and its blood the springs of water. So let me end with a return to the idea of rivers. Canadian Unitarian Universalist congregations are rivers, singular in their diverse complexities and yet co-created by those who exist within them. Mergers and splits, offshoots and collaborations, our communities blend together and pull apart as we wind our ways through life. As we reflect on water today, let us remember we are part of a larger system of Unitarian Universalism, an ecosystem that helped to create, sustain, and connect our individual communities. With a mission to enhance, nurture, and promote the Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist religion in Canada, the Canadian Unitarian Council acts like a river connecting the tributaries of all our faith communities. We have an opportunity to directly engage with the other tributaries, with the other faith communities so connected through this sharing our faith service. And we can continue to remember our connectedness, interconnectedness, throughout the year, helping to build a land where justice shall roll down like waters and peace like an ever-flowing stream.